This evening I would like to call your attention to the 2 Corinthians, and I'd like to notice with you a passage of scripture that has really spoken to my heart of late. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. Do y'all ever have a scripture that just really stands out? I mean, above all others, like a high mountaintop. Well, I would encourage you to meditate on that scripture. Lock it in and keep it fresh on your mind, because you'll need it by and by. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, Paul would say, "We having the same spirit of prayer, of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak." In this chapter, the Apostle Paul is talking to the church at Corinth about a lot of the trials and tribulations that he had been through as a follower of Jesus Christ and as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He needed a lot of faith to keep going. But his faith in God had sustained him. You look at verse 1 of chapter 4. "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." Now, when you read about all he went through, you wouldn't be shocked if he did faint. But what kept him from fainting? It was his faith in the living God. And every one of us needs Christian faith in our journey here below. So he says, "We having the same spirit." And the word spirit there is a little s, which I think would suggest to us he's not talking about the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, but he's talking about our spirit within us, our attitude. "We having this same spirit or attitude of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken." The Apostle Paul obviously read the Old Testament a lot. He quoted from it a lot. And here he refers to a passage of scripture from Psalm 116. Notice, "We having the same spirit of faith according as it is written." And where was it written? In the Bible. He's not talking about the writings of men. He's talking about divine scripture that has been divinely inspired. "As it is written." And he quotes from Psalm 116, where David said, "I believe, and therefore have I spoken." Believing in God is wonderful, isn't it? But believing enough to speak about it is even more wonderful. See, Paul is saying, "I believed and therefore have I spoken." Spoken the word of God, spoken about Jesus Christ. And all of us need that kind of faith in our daily lives. Enough faith to encourage us to speak about our Savior, Jesus Christ. Not be ashamed of Him. How many of us are ashamed of Him tonight? I hope not. No matter where you are or who you're with, you should never be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. And your faith will help you as you speak about Him in the marketplace, at your job, with your family, in church. Don't hesitate. "According as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken." And beloved, we need to stay in the scriptures. I noticed tonight as we were singing, "He's Just the Same Today." When Moses and the Israelites from Egypt's land did flee, behind them were proud Pharaoh's host, in front of them the sea. God raised the waters like a wall and opened up the way. And the God that lived in the olden times is just the same today. And as we were singing that song, I thought, what a blessing it would be if all of God's children had these familiar Bible stories on our minds constantly. When David and Goliath met, the wrong against the right, the giant armed with human strength, and David with God's might. God sent a stone by David's sling, the giant loaded lay. How many of y'all just think about these wonderful Bible stories on a regular basis? Hide the Word of God in your heart. Read the Scriptures. See, Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ. He wrote 14 books in this New Testament. He was called up to the third heaven, and he saw things not even lawful for him to talk about. And yet, he needed to read the Old Testament. And if he needed to read the Old Testament, you know Brother Sam needs to be reading it. And the more I read it, the more it strengthens my faith. When Daniel, faithful to his God, would not bow down to men, and by his enemies was hurled into the lion's den, God shut the lion's mouths, we read, and robbed them of their prey. I want to ask anybody in the house tonight, in your trials and tribulations in life, how many of y'all are facing anything like what Moses faced in Egypt? Or what David faced with Goliath? Or what Daniel faced in the den of lions? We all have our troubles, our trials, our tribulations, but beloved, the God that helped these people is the God that's with us tonight. How many of y'all believe that? Or do y'all think he's gone to sleep or no longer interested or he's just old? He's just an old, decrepit granddaddy. No, he's not getting old. He doesn't even take a nap. The Bible says, he that keeps us neither sleeps nor slumbers. So Paul, in reading the Old Testament, he found his faith just being strengthened. We having the same attitude of faith. And see, attitude is not something you have once in a while. It's a mindset. You think about every problem in life the same way. You see it through the lens of faith in God, no matter what's going on. I mentioned today that if we found out we had cancer, and it's a kind of cancer that is hard to deal with, what would our attitude be? Well, if we're in the Word, and the Word is in us, you know, that's wonderful, isn't it? We can read the Word, and then the Word gets in us and begins to take over our thinking, our mind. It's right there. Just like when Jesus was facing the devil in the wilderness, Satan was coming at him in every way imaginable to tempt him. And what did Jesus use to fight? He used the Bible. As it is written, as it is written, as it is written. Jesus reached back into the book of Deuteronomy, pulled out the dazzling sword of Scripture, and used it to defeat the old tempter. That's what you and I need in our lives. We need the Word of God. And so, beloved, may God help us to stay in the Word. And it'll be a blessing to us and it'll build up our faith. That's one reason you need to go to church. And that's one reason preachers always ought to be preaching the Bible. Not politics, not sports. Preaching the Word of God. That your faith might be strengthened as you face your trials. So if you got a diagnosis that you have cancer and it's the kind that's very difficult for the medical world to deal with, what should be our attitude? Well, I can tell you what faith would say. Faith would say, okay, I'm going to turn this over to God. I'm going to commit this to my God in heaven. He's got all power. He knows all things. He is the great physician. Anybody going to say amen to that? And then, We're going to get the best medical help we can get. We're going to trust God to guide us and direct us to the right doctor, the right care. And if God heals us, praise His name. And if He doesn't, praise His name. Because it's a win-win situation. See, faith, beloved friends, faith in our lives shouldn't just be something we carry around in our back pocket and pull out occasionally. We ought to live by faith every day. It ought to be to our soul what eyes are to our bodies. Now, let's look here at what Paul has said that he is going through. In chapter 4, he would say, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, and the earthen vessel are these feeble bodies that you and I live in that's getting older every day, and it has its weaknesses and its struggles. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. What is the treasure? Well, I believe it's the eternal life that God has put in us, and it's also, I think, would embrace the gospel of grace. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. See, God could have called angels to preach to y'all. How many of y'all would love to have an angel pastor in Cool Springs Church? Come on now. You say, well, that wouldn't probably be too bad. It would be what we got. But see, God did not call angels to preach the gospel. He didn't. Why? That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. God called Saul of Tarsus to preach the gospel. Now, who was Saul of Tarsus? Well, he was from Tarsus, but his family apparently sent him to Jerusalem to study under the great teacher Gamaliel, who was a great scholar in the first century, a Jewish scholar. And Saul learned a great deal about the Old Testament under the teachings of Gamaliel. But Saul thought that he was really something. He thought he was, well, he was. He was, he tells the Philippians, he said, I am of the stock of Israel, not a drop of Gentile blood in his body. You know how the Jewish men used to pray? They would pray to God and say, thank you, God, that I'm a Jew and not a Gentile. Thank you, God, that I'm a man and not a woman. Now, that's a recorded prayer of Jewish men. I mean, they were proud to be Jews. And Paul was full of himself, and he was of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. That was very meaningful because the first king Israel ever had came out of the tribe of Benjamin, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. He would say, I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He wasn't just a Hebrew. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was a Pharisee. This man thought that he was great. He was the enemy, the greatest enemy Jesus ever had. He hated Jesus because Jesus was proclaiming that he was the Messiah. And Saul knew the Old Testament, but he didn't see Jesus in the Old Testament. And he hated Jesus. And he hated everybody that followed Jesus. And he thought it was his mission in life to go around and kill everybody that believed in Jesus. He was a monster. And the church trembled when they heard his name. But on his way to Damascus with letters of authority in his pocket to bind up Christians there and bring them back to Jerusalem for trial, imprisonment, and maybe death, he met Jesus on the way. And Jesus Christ, our Lord, struck him down. And he learned a lot in a few minutes in the dust of that road to Damascus. He said, Lord, who art thou? And he found out who Jesus was. I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And he found out he was a sinner a vile, wretched sinner, and that Jesus was the Savior, and the one he had been persecuting, well, he found out he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so Paul recognizes, I'm just an earthen vessel. I'm not even fit to be in the church. But God has put this treasure inside of me, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Let me tell you, when Saul would go to preach the gospel, listen, there were widows in that church who were widows because he had put their husbands to death. There were children there who were orphans because he had put their parents to death. He was a wicked man. But God's grace changed him. And now he's acknowledging, yes, I'm the chief of sinners, but by God's grace, he has put a treasure inside of me. And now my faith is going to enable me to speak in his name. How many of us tonight have enough faith to speak in his name? You know, it takes a lot of faith for me to get up here and try to preach to y'all. After all, y'all hear me a lot. I go off somewhere and preach, and they hadn't seen me in a long time, and they seem to get... anyway, you know how that goes. You know what it takes to make a good, a big preacher? About 300 miles. But let me tell you, I appreciate y'all coming out here every Sunday night, because I do try to labor to preach to you all, but you all know I'm an earthen vessel. But inside of me is a treasure that God put there when I was a teenager. And I want to have enough faith to speak in his name, no matter what the circumstances are. Whether it's to 2 or 3 or 5,000, doesn't matter to me. I'm ready by faith to speak his name. So now Paul is going to say he's put this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. For we are troubled on every side. Now, we all have troubles, but I don't think I've ever been able to say I've been troubled on every side, but he was, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Are y'all hearing this? This is our apostle, the apostle to the Gentiles. God reached over here in the Jewish world and arrested him and brought him to the Gentiles to preach the everlasting gospel. And now he would say in verse 10, always bearing about in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifested in our body. You see, beloved, in the first century in Rome or in the Roman Empire, the Christian faith did not have the freedom we have in America tonight. You know, beloved, honestly, there is no way for me to know how to appreciate the religious freedom we have tonight in Georgia. Anybody in the house got any idea how a blessing it is? If you had ever lived in a country where you didn't have this freedom, you might be able to appreciate it. Well, Paul knew. He was being persecuted. He was being arrested. Not only were Judaizers following him everywhere and trying to corrupt the gospel he was preaching. The Roman soldiers were always after him and putting him in prison. But he says, that's okay. He says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of Christ. Now come to verse 16. For which cause we faint not, We were over at Sister Teenie's this afternoon, and her daughter Kay was telling us about a friend of hers that she was rooming with one time, I think in Florida, and she had rotator cuff surgery, and she had some kind of needle in her arm, and it was a pain medicine they were giving her, and they sent it home, and Kay said, they told me, when it's emptied, you take it out. And Kay said, I can't do that. I faint. Well, that's me now. I just, the other day at the emergency room, when those ER doctors were going to put Nelda's rotator cuff back in, they said, now you can stay in your, I said, not me. Nelda watches the ER on TV. I can't. I'd faint. I'm not called to that kind of work. That is not my calling in life. But Paul is saying, listen to this, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Now the outward man is the flesh. Any of y'all have to deal with the flesh? Yesterday at lunch down at McClenny Church, I was having lunch with my granddaughters, Olivia and Audrey, and they had come back with some delicious desserts. And I was trying not to, but, you know, I went back and I got 3 or 4 samples of desserts. And I said to them, I said, you know, this is sinful. And they said, what do you mean, Granddaddy? I said, well, you know, these things are so delicious and my flesh wants them. It's okay to eat a little dessert, but I was eating way too much. And I told them about a pastor who was talking to some little kids one day and said, do y'all know what sin is? And this little girl said, yes, sir, everything we like. That's what sin is. Have y'all noticed that? Everything your flesh likes comes under the category of sin. And we've got to live with it and deal with it as long as we live. The outward man. And it's perishing. Anyway, Paul would say, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. I want to tell you, beloved, it's a liberating moment in an old person's life when they come to terms with the fact that they're old and start enjoying old age. It really is. Not dreading it, but enjoying it. Old age can be enjoyed. There is some gold in old age. And I think Paul is saying it, for which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is what? Renewed day by day. See, that inward man's not getting old. He's not wearing out. That inward man is being renewed day by day. I see that in Sister Janie Townsend. She's 101 years old. And yet she's still got a great sense of humor. And she loves the Word of God. She loves you all. She loves the Lord Jesus. And that inward man is just being renewed day by day. Sister Mildred Lord, same way, 101 years old. See, you all can enjoy old age if you'll stay close to the Lord. And let that inward man just be renewed day by day. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? I've always enjoyed being around old people because that is old people that are growing better. You know, let's not just grow old, let's grow better. Let's grow closer to our Lord Jesus. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, listen to that. Paul is talking about light affliction. Listen, this man had been stoned in Lystra and left for dead. The people who stoned him thought he was dead, so they left him. You can imagine what shape he was in. He was beaten by Romans, scourged by Jews, imprisoned, shipwrecked, His eyesight evidently was very poor. The man had a thorn in the flesh that buffeted him at all times. You'd think, surely faith in God would keep him from suffering. No, I want to turn with you a moment over to Hebrews, and I want to look at something I think is very helpful for God's children to think about. In Hebrews chapter 13, chapter 11, the great faith chapter of the Bible. In chapter 11 of Hebrews, Paul tells us by faith, Abel offered up a more excellent sacrifice than his brother. By faith, Noah built an ark, and it took him 100+ years to do it. And yet he just kept on by faith building and building an ark when there'd never been a rain on the earth or a flood. He talks about Enoch, he talks about Abraham, and all the amazing things that they accomplished through faith. But now let's come down to verse 36. All right, after telling about all the amazing things that God's children in the Old Testament had done by faith, Daniel escaping the den of lions, David bringing down the giant, after he talked about all of that, then in verse 36, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. Now he's telling us about a lot of God's children who by faith endured mockings and scourgings and bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. Were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Now, these are people of faith just as much as the others are. And yet they're suffering. And the flesh would cry out, where was God when I was going through all of this? Did God really care? Yes, he cared. He suffered his people to endure all of this. He suffered Job to go through horrible things. Why God suffered it, I don't know. That's God's business, but I know he did. And I know he turned Satan loose on him. And Satan had no mercy on Job. God only spared Job's life. Where was God? I want to tell you, God was in the place he's always been. You say, Brother Sam, looks like our faith in God would deliver us from all the suffering and trials that these people went through. Well, it didn't. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Wow. And yet they were people of faith just like the others were. Now I want to go back just a moment to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I want to come to verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. See, by faith we can see things we can't see with our natural eyes. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen is eternal. Let's look at verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Whatever you and I are going through in this world is a moment compared to eternity. You know, beloved, that's something to think about, isn't it? I could endure anything, any suffering here, as long as I know it's temporal. It's temporary. And I'm not going to be suffering in eternity. Now, what if you knew you were going to be suffering in all eternity? Brother, that would be bad, wouldn't it? And that's where we'd go if it wasn't for a man on a cross 2,000 years ago. We'd be going to hell for all eternity. But because of him, our suffering is temporary in this world. And it'll soon be over. And it's really a light affliction compared to what we're waiting for in glory. Here's a text I love. Romans 8. For I reckon, Paul said, that the sufferings of this present time, that's right here in this world, is not even worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Wow. So I want to just close pointing out some things that I think our suffering can help us with in life. One thing our suffering can do is help us remember the suffering of Jesus. How many of y'all ever think about Jesus on the cross? Can you just imagine what he went through in 6 hours? When God, during that last 3 hours, poured out on him eternal wrath, he compressed an eternity of suffering into 3 hours, and his son endured it. Our suffering ought to remind us of the suffering of Jesus. Another thing our suffering can do is help us from being proud, high-minded, and, you know, and lifted up in ourselves. I believe that our suffering in this life can help us to understand that our life here is but brief, and eternal life is waiting on us on the other side. And I tell you something else our suffering can do. It'll give us an opportunity to give a witness to people and say, God's grace is sufficient for me. God's grace is helping me. God's grace is amazing. And then I want to just say one other word. We can see God's power keeping us, sustaining us. You know, I've had the privilege of pastoring people like you all for over 60 years. I wish I'd have just kept a record of all the people that I have pastored who have been through great trials that never complained and just gave a witness to the amazing grace of God. Our dear sister down at Statesboro that we all love, Sister Maddie Aiken, she never had any children, but I tell you, she adopted every child in the church. And they'd gather in her home often, and she kept on her coffee table a Bible, a Strong's Concordance, and a dictionary. And let me tell you, when the young people gathered at Sister Maddie's house, they always had a Bible discussion. That woman could teach the Word of God. She lived to be in around 90, and she was in the hospital, and she was in agonizing pain from some condition that I don't remember right now, but I can tell you her testimony. In all of her suffering, she preached to us. Right from that hospital bed, she let us know it's okay. God's grace is amazing. Don't waste your suffering, beloved. Use it to the glory of God, knowing that it is but for a moment. And then we'll be with him in glory. Thank you all for your wonderful attention tonight.